Just a few brief words for a few minutes this morning based on Romans chapter 8 that we read earlier on between verses 31 and 39, a passage which for me was very important and still is when I was a young Christian, passage which was very important. Because when I was a young Christian, quite fresh in the faith and full of the questions that young believers ask at the time, questions which I still ask sometimes and I haven't answered in full, but full of questions in those days. And one of the questions I was bothered about was that once you're a Christian, is it possible to get to the point where somehow you lose God's love and somehow you're not a Christian anymore? You know, full of doubts like that in the early days. And this passage was very helpful to me. Because the thrust of this passage, and indeed the whole of chapter 8 and other parts of Romans, is that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Nothing in all the world, in all the universe, nothing that happens to us can separate us from God's love. That was one of the things I found very encouraging in the early days of my faith. Just before this passage in verse 28 or so, Paul gives us this great verse that is all about everything, no matter what happens to us, everything works together for those that love God. Everything, you know? And that's something that some of us here have really had to face in a big way. Some of us more than others. Because some really difficult things have happened to us. Things that have affected us very negatively. And these things have tested our faith. They've put our faith to the test. They've caused us to ask, oh, was it all worthwhile? Why should I bother? And it's human to ask those things sometimes. It's human to ask those things. But here's Paul in this great chapter in the scripture saying that nothing can separate us from God's love. So in short then, Paul's message is one of hope. A message that encourages Christians not to despair despite what's happening around them. And Paul knew that when he wrote to the church in Rome, a lot of difficult things were happening. People had been martyred. People had suffered for what they believe. People had been put to the sword. And Paul is speaking the language of hope. He's saying all these things, despite the negative things which are happening to you, they all work together for the best. They all work together for the good of those that love God, he's saying. There's still a future. We still live in hope. We still speak the language of faith. We don't lose our faith. And this is a contrast to, you could say, the language of fatalism. Language which just says, oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and there's nothing I can do to stop it, and why bother believing in anything? Paul's offering us the language, the vocabulary, if you want, of faith. So with Paul, we as Christians learn to speak the language of hope. The language which is quite different to the language of fatalism. The language of fatalism, in a sense, shows a fear of hope. It shows that many, even in our time today, not just then in Paul's time, but in our time today, are afraid of what the future holds for them. Many years ago, I worked for the City Mission in Birmingham. I remember being in the city centre one day and seeing a protest march going through the city centre, people with the banners and such like. And one of the banners I remember said, "No jobs, no future, no hope." People who were discouraged, who were angry, who were bitter because somehow their lives, their future had been snatched away from them. And here Paul in Romans chapter 8 offers us something different. He offers us the language of hope. In verse 32 of the passage, we have an interesting expression. And we read, Paul talks about the God who did not spare his only son, but actually gave him up for us. Who did not spare his only son, gave him up for us. This word used for, or the word used for did not spare, is also used in there's a Greek version of what we call the Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint. You won't get any marks for remembering the name, but you'll come across the name sometime. The Septuagint. It's a Greek version of the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is taken from what we call the Old Testament was taken from the Hebrew scriptures, Jewish documents. But in the Septuagint, the Greek version, and the story of Abraham. Remember when Abraham took his son, put him on the altar to be sacrificed because he felt that that's what God was telling him to do. And God stopped him. Talked about Abraham being willing, who didn't even want to spare his son. In the same way, in an even greater way, God did not spare Jesus, his own son. And this is what God has done. God has come right into the middle of hopelessness, come right into the middle of despair. God did not spare his only son. And that's what we've been remembering here at Lord's table during communion time together. That's the whole purpose of why we're here. Because God has given us this message, this language of hope for the future. Salvation, redemption in Jesus Christ. This language of hope in distinction to the language of the fatalism of our time. We look at the cross of Christ. We see how far God was prepared to go for a world which had forgotten God. We learn a different language, a different vocabulary, the language of faith, in distinction to the vocabulary and language of fatalism. It's a difficult language to learn sometimes. It's a difficult language when we look at what's happening in our world. Difficult language when we've just been hearing about a man who's been in prison for the murder of a little girl. It's a difficult language to learn when we see the contradictions in the world around us. And yet Paul is reminding us here of the life, the language of faith. Karl Barth, very famous Swiss theologian, once said in his commentary on the book of Romans, "If we fix our eyes upon the place where the course of the world reaches its lowest point, where its vanity is unmistakable, where its groanings are most bitter. And he says, where the divine incognito most impenetrable. What Karl Barth is saying, where we look at our world and see where things are at their worst, there we'll find Jesus Christ. Language of faith. Barth continues to say, on the frontier of what is observable, he stands there, delivered up and not spared. The place of us all, he stands there, delivered up for us all. Do we see with the eyes of faith? Do we speak the language of faith? Each day as we go to work, as we both go about our daily chores, whatever we do every day, do others recognize the language of faith in us? Do they hear that language? Is it distinguished from the language of fatalism in the world around us? The issues behind this passage are difficult. They are to do with suffering. They are to do with people who have experienced immense suffering. And when you preach or teach about this, you've got to be really careful how you handle it. Because you can offer shallow answers, and I don't want to do that this morning. But this is something we all have to wrestle with in our own lives. Something I had to wrestle with recently when I saw a friend at work lying in bed, dying of an illness which he had for reasons suddenly none of us could understand. A lively, vibrant teacher whose students and colleagues loved, respected, and adored, and he died. And it left us all shocked. But questions of suffering and difficulty and the negative which his wife, whom he left behind, and family had to somehow wrestle with and did. I won't offer any shallow solutions, but these are issues which we have to wrestle with as Christians in our own lives. But whatever the forces are around us, what Paul's telling us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul's convinced that all these things can make us, and he says, more than conquerors. More than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Just drawing to an end, some years ago while I was a youth leader in a church in Scotland, I had the chance to work with a young woman. And she was a mother of two children. And her husband had said that he, after some years of marriage and two children, he decided that he didn't want to be responsible for family life anymore and upped and left her. Funny time to discover it, but he nevertheless decided that he was going. And later on, this young woman learned that her mother was dying of cancer. And she had to give up the chance of a job that she had. Job that she'd always wanted. She had to give up that chance to look after her mother. You say to yourself, oh, what a bad hand of cards. You know? That would be what the language of fatalism says. And the world looks at people like that. And the world calls them losers. But Paul in Romans chapter 8 calls them more than conquerors. That young woman said that despite her experiences, she knew the love of God like she'd never known it in her whole life. That's a mystery. Incredible experience, but she knew that, and you could see it. See that God's love was alive in her. Paul calls that type of person, or those type of people, more than conquerors. Because Paul speaks the language of faith, not the language of fatalism. It's the kind of faith that I remember years ago seeing in Desmond Tutu. We'll remember Desmond Tutu when South Africa, things were happening there that were much different, when there was a phenomenon known as apartheid going on. I remember him saying to the justice minister, face to face on TV, "Mr. Minister," he said, "we must remind you that you are not God. You are just a man. And one day your name shall merely be a scribble on the pages of history. Well, the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of the Church, shall live forever." Desmond Tutu putting things into perspective for us, proper perspective. To speak the language of faith. Such people who live with suffering daily in ways that many of us have never known. The world looks at and calls foolish. The world says such people are to be pitied. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, calls them more than conquerors. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for this life that you have made possible for us. Thank you, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love. Whether it's height or depth or all the powers in the world, we thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.